see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to Watching for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gamble, for those just joining us. Well, found me today. How y'all doing? You know, I don't take callers. Well, number one, I don't have a machine. But yeah, I have before in the past, callers, guests, sometimes chat rooms. I had all that stuff. And I know chat rooms is pretty good sometimes when you're talking, you know, blog talk radio, or you do the little add-on or whatever you want to call it for chat. You have a chat box and on your site. But when I hit the ground running, and I get moving. I got a lot to talk about. Well, I'm on a radio broadcast. I guess I should. So, nevertheless, though, I found in the past that they would send what is referred to as shills or COINTELPRO or different organizations. It was a mixture of whatever on your site to get to know people. They would say, oh, this is great. Oh, I love the show. Oh, how you doing? Oh, really? And they'd sit there and talk, different ones, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10, 15, whatever, and get to know people. And then within a week or two, they start say, well, can you privately email me? That's how they do it. And then they start it's so contrite, but backstabbing you, or they say, well, you know, I really don't. They'll tell you they agree with you or good job or whatever, but then when they start singling people out, then they gather those they find they have something in common with, and then they'll enroll them in a friendship of sort. So within a month, maybe two, thereabouts, then they turn on you. It's always worked that way. And so what it does is it causes division in your chat room and doubt. And then you got to do the banning thing and the blocking thing and all that drama and all this stuff. And it always has worked that way. Always has. Now, people do get helped on them. You do have people that asking questions or offer good information and say, oh, that's a good idea. That's a good point you bring up on the air broadcast. But I found it's now increasing, even on YouTube and Facebook, those that operate on those that type of media, you might agree with me, but I'm finding that there's a massive attack all of a sudden. It's always been someone, but now all of a sudden, the past month or less, on the King James Bible, on the name of Jesus, and to downplay the actual conspiracy of what's going on in support of secret societies. Is massively increasing. And now I can say it right now and not blink an eye. Of course, you would see if I did now anyway. But there is supernatural interference with individuals that are trying to do the right thing. Now, I can say that because I'm seeing it not only personally with people I know up close and personal, that they're like, yeah, you know, this is getting weird because physical manifestations, it's happening. It's happening. And it's enough to where even I'll mention it on this media that I'm using now, which is mostly political, economic discussion, etc. But I'll tell you, it's becoming to be an issue, a serious issue. People that you normally talk to, that I normally talk to, are now talking about it, about how Satan, how the supernatural realm is manifesting itself in the natural, in an attack mode. It actually is happening. And the only defense that you've got for the supernatural is supernatural, and that's Jesus Christ. That is the bottom line. That's of this entire conspiracy. That is the bottom line. This, if I was to give a brief, say, we want this crazy gamble, that'd be me, to come up to the Joint Chief of Staff, and as if that would actually happen, and brief the Council of Foreign Relations or Joint Chief of Staff and all this and all that, and I was called up there in my Marine Corps mode to actually give a professional briefing of what I would suggest to be done and so forth and so on, and I mean this literally, if that was to ever happen, and I was to actually do it, I would mention the supernatural realm in 2 Chronicles 7:14 as the only option you all guys have. You don't have any other option. There is no other. That is the final solution. 2 Chronicles 7:14, that's the only one. But man won't do that. Man is going to continue on with their five-paragraph order, the high level, how we're going to solve this and the material means, and it will fail. There's no question about that. White hats are going to fail. The black hats, they're planned to fail. The supernatural realm is the rule. And it's going to take failure to bring people around to that realization. So who do you think is going to win out then in the end? It's not a trick question. You should know that answer right quick. The Creator is going to. God. And man didn't create it. Nature didn't create the universe. Certainly aliens didn't create themselves. How could aliens create the universe? And then, because it didn't exist, and then they create themselves, or by accident, the universe, it really doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you're into science at all, you'll say, wait a minute, man, there's no way possible. That the universe is self-creating, that the universe itself is God. I mean, really. A non-thinking, natural, flying rocks and stuff out there, just self-existed, just all of a sudden, it just out of nowhere, it just popped up, I know, Big Bang or whatever. But who started the Big Bang? How did it know to start? You know, by itself? How'd that happen? Anyway, and then things start flying together like a pinball machine, right? And gathering moss, you know, whatever, moss and amino acids on a, hey, amino acids are catching a ride on a meteorite. Where are you going? That little blue ball down there. You give me a ride? Sure. I'll slow down long enough for you to jump on my meteorite as we hit that Earth. Oh, we're calling Earth. Oh, okay. So the amino acids, this is so silly, but this is what people actually believe, are on a meteorite that's heading down to Earth. This is fast as it can go. Kaboom. That's missing some things, so they need some more kabooms, kabooms, kabooms to put it all together. I mean, it's almost ridiculous when you dissect it and know that there's 33, minimum 33 factors that have to be perfect for life to form. Just a little bit off of temperature, a little bit off of amino acids, you know, those amino acids, whatever. And they're at a certain level of this primordial goo, at a certain level in the soup or whatever they want to call it. And all of a sudden, pop, there goes a virus or whatever, or bacteria that forms into a fish, and a fish turns into a darn monkey, and a monkey turns into a human. They have absolutely no evidence, none, zero, nada. And yet, high level, super intelligent individuals, which is questionable, at these colleges, universities, and laboratories, very questionable about their intelligence, really. I have to say that. You know, it reminds me, and I'm going to dedicate the broadcast here, but this is kind of the example, a real simple example. I like to keep it simple, you know. There's some folks at a bookstore I go to, they play with those jigsaw puzzles or whatever, like 1,000 pieces, you know, 5,000 pieces. Oh my gosh, you ever seen those things? They're frustrating. I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole. I just watch them. I got to walk away after 1 minute of watching them if it lasts that long. You put all the colors in one place, and you look at the box, and you sit there for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours looking for that little piece. Oh, and you get a self-reward when you find it. Oh, look what I found. Oh, it fits. It's like each puzzle, each 1,000 times, you get rewarded. Huh? How about that? Are you doing scripture reading? No. Are you helping anybody? No. But you're getting rewarded every piece you place in the puzzle. Woo. And then you take it and put it on a frame. Put it on your wall. Look how pretty that is. What, it took me 17 hours to do that. Really? Yeah. Let's sit here and look at it for a while. Let's look at it. You looking at it? Look at it now. Don't you turn away. I won't bring my house anymore. Keep looking. All right. You about done looking? Yeah, I'm looking. I'm ducking too. Okay, we'll come back tomorrow and look at it some more. Okay, you know, it's going to be there unless somebody steals it. And then next week you can come in and look at it some more if you want to. You know, and I can tell you again, it took me 17 hours. What have you got? What you got? Ends up on an auction block or later some downward when you die or when you trade it off. You need to sell it to make some money. Somebody will buy it and they'll sit there and look at it. Who did that? I don't know. I just bought it at a garage sale. You did? Yeah, I just bought it. I don't know. It looks good. Let's sit here and look at it. You got the point? You see? But that's not my main point. Here's my main point. I was watching them do it, and some little kid, two of them, that would be kids, wouldn't it? Not to be confused with. So, look, these two little kids would come in this bookstore, and they mess around with stuff. One of the little girls just turned the whole thing over. Woo-hoo, that made them mad. Anyway, so these two kids, one of them took one of the pieces of the puzzle. It's gone. You know, so you got this puzzle three quarters done and a little piece is like a sore tooth. It just hangs out there, missing. So I told them, I said, look, I said, you see this piece right here? It don't look about the same color. Yeah. Look, I got a pocket knife as sharp as a razor. I started laughing. I said, let me cut it and I bet you I can fit it in there and it'll fit. He said, Tom, you're impossible. I said, no, I could do that. I could cut it. I got a razor blade. I got a knife as sharp as a razor. And I just cut it and let it fit, and there you go. That's what we try to do with the Bible. We try to cut it. We try to make it fit us. What we want. God, this is what I think it should be. Do tell. Really? God says. You really do, huh? Uh-huh. We try to cut the Bible to match our missing puzzle piece. Make it fit if we can't find it fit to make me feel comfortable. But you'll always see it in that frame, and you'll always know that that's really that piece don't go there. He'll plague you every day. No missing spot, but you know that piece don't belong there. Every day you look at it, it's going to convict you. Every day, that little spot is going to be there. You see, that's how it really works today. We try to make God fit our plans, our thoughts, our what we think it should be in our human minds. Our infinite human minds. Well, that's going to come back to haunt us and the individual. The King James Bible is the final authority. That's it. It's the last of the prophecy. When John of Patmos finished the book of Revelation, and Paul finished his last book, that was it. No more new revelations. It's not there. You don't have no more new, you don't have no new enlightenments. It tells you what's going to happen. On my Facebook, Watchman for Jesus, we put up a meme. We put one of them up. It says, the King James Bible is more up to date than tomorrow and today's newspapers, than even tomorrow's newspapers. It's not a book of the past. That's what we're taught. It's a book of the future with 100% chance that's going to happen. It don't have lottery numbers and this ridiculous Bible code and ridiculous Torah code and all that nonsense. Only I can read the Bible code. I have the computer program for only $19. Whatever. You see. Tom, we need you to come and read. I can't read the Bible code. I wouldn't waste my time on it. Literally, if you put the Mother Goose rhymes on a computer, it works the same as a Bible code. It's nothing but a computer program. That's all it is. That they manipulate. Literally. It's worthless. It's a lie. There's no Torah code and Bible code. That's to give rise to other people, to give them prophet status and all this other nonsense. Just like the Catholic Church saying, the population is not educated. The Bible's in Latin. So we'll read it for you. Like, what's his name? Arnold Murray, Shepherd's Chapel. Quote, you don't have to read the Bible. Just listen to me. I beg your pardon. That's what he said. I'd have walked out if I was in one of his church congregations, whatever it means, whatever, if I actually did. He was to put up with that. Man, I'd be out there so fast. I'd be hitting something more important. That'd be a buffet or something. I would sit there and have my ears put full of the garbage. That's a cult group. Anyone that says, don't listen to the Bible, but listen to me. I'm gone, man, within about 2 seconds. I don't care who it is. I'm out of there. That second, that moment, I'm gone. No matter what. If I got to take a cab, I'm gone. Family, don't fill your ears and head full of garbage. King James Bible is the only true word of God. It is the playbook that will come true. So back to what I was saying, it's supernatural war that we're fighting right now. It's going to get down to it. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and I'm going to talk about some economic situations. I'm going to talk about political situations. I'm going to talk about headlines today. That's what I talk about on this broadcast. And I'll link it together with the reality of the supernatural. Because that's exactly what's happening. They bring the supernatural down to our level to manipulate mankind. And that's how the Illuminati keeps us in line. In ways that you can't imagine. Some of you that are students. Oh, that was awkward. Students of the conspiracy. And we all are. Some of this you already know, but for me, I've done it for 5, now 6, 7 years. So what? I learn something new every single day. Every day there's another little spider web, little, well, that too, direction it takes off on. Always. This thing is so vast. Satan has it so tied up on the material world. It's just mind-boggling. It is. That's why people don't study it. But he loses. Sin turned the world over to Satan. But Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, took it back. He's going to return to rule in Jerusalem after Armageddon. And in any given point of time that we haven't picked up on the first seal, and it hasn't, it'd be 7 years from any point in time until that first seal. When that first seal happens, the peace covenant is confirmed with Israel and the Antichrist, who hadn't showed up yet. And the peace and safety is announced worldwide. Hasn't happened yet, if I don't have to tell you that already. That's when the clock starts ticking. That begins the seven seals, 3.5 years. Then the seven trumpets, the next 3.5 years. 3.5 and 3.5. Oh, that's 7 years. At the end of the seventh trumpet is the seven bowl judgments. In that order, not out of order. So they try to cut the piece of the puzzle, you see now, and say, well, they're not really in order. Well, then why did God put it in order in the Bible? Well, man wrote, but they always got an answer, but you can always get back with them with the truth. Well, man did the Bible. Yeah, men that was guided by God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. Try again, sucker. Well, try to defame the Bible, because you're only digging your hole deeper. I'm trying to cut that little puzzle, piece puzzle out to make it fit. It won't fit. There you go. Okay, push. Push hard. Okay. All right, that sort of fits. Yeah, but it don't fit. Let's dedicate the broadcast. Let's get moving here. Wow, time is flying by. You ever notice that? How fast time goes to so much today? All of a sudden, it seems like it really flies. Lord, we thank you today for bringing us together in this broadcast. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be together. Worship the Lord. And, Father, talk about what's going on today in this world. How Satan is bringing forth the final pieces of this puzzle called Revelation. Father, to open up our eyes that we see through the deception. And Father, to give us that wisdom and discernment that we can pass on to others. And Father, open our eyes wider that we can see through the end times. That, Father, we can correct any mistakes made. And Father, to clear our studies up, that we have questions, Lord, the Holy Spirit will answer them. Father, we pray for those that are seeking help, seeking knowledge. But most of all, Father, we ask you to set up divine appointments for those seeking salvation. For those they approach, give them the words to speak, to lead others to Jesus, so that more and more there'll be celebrations in heaven about those who convert. Father, to give protection to those around the world that are being targeted because they're believers in Jesus Christ. Father, we know that more and more it's going to wax cold. But Father, we need the Holy Spirit to give us that protection. Father, today we pray for the veterans. And Father, we do pray for all those that are contemplating suicide. We pray, Lord, that divine appointments are set up that can guide the thoughts away from suicide. Father, because it's increasing exponentially in this country and in the world. We know, Father, it's by demonized. It's being pushed by the drugs, by the psychotropic drugs, antidepressants, and connections to the supernatural. The thoughts of hopelessness and the conditions created by the Luciferians that cause hopelessness to happen within people. But Father, I see the only way out is through death. But Father, we pray that you'll send the Holy Spirit down that the Father, the Holy Spirit will convict people of this wrong decision and setting up divine appointments to give people the opportunity to make that choice of accepting life through Jesus. Father, we pray for children this month and next month that are going to be abducted for the satanic sacrifices they have and the use by these Luciferians and all governments. Father, to let them escape. Give them protection and give families hope. Miracles to happen, Lord. Father, we do pray for the healing of all those we prayed for here in the past. That, Father, you revisit those prayers of bringing families together, of helping people's situations. And, Father, for those seeking the truth that's getting out of the churches, that, Lord, that you'll be there to gather them back to your bosom. And those that don't have a Bible, Lord, that you'll write the truth on their heart. And all these things we pray, Lord. We pray for courage on the pulpit today. And for preachers to come out and start telling the truth. And preaching the true word of God out of the King James Bible. Lord, we need the word more than ever. All these things we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, they are masters at the Hegelian dialectic. The Hegelian dialectic is what they've used for centuries. Even before Hegel, created the term Hegelian dialectic, before it was created, before he's identified it, quantified the methodology, the technique of using problem, reaction, and solution. They control the problem, present it to you. False flag, an assassination, a fake epidemic, something. A depression, Great Depression created, which it was. A war that happens. These are examples of the created instances throughout our history. As a matter of fact, every single war we've been in was created by a false flag. Every single war. There are no exceptions. I mean, not one. Sinking of the Maine is confirmed to have been caused by our government, as led by the Jesuits, to justify the spending to develop the United States into a world power militarily, to be able to then start handling dealing with the wars, the banana wars, during the 1920s and before, Haiti, Nicaragua, etc., leading up to World War I. The Civil War weakened us, as was planned to do by the Jesuits when they instigated Civil War. And then 1870s, the Illuminati turned on two major operations. One was to eliminate the samurai warrior in Japan, and the second one was to subjugate the Indians into reservations and to massacre. That our white soldiers and our own federal troops did. You somehow can't blame the Indians. They were here first. I'm white, Anglo-Saxon, Scotch-Irish. I had relatives that fought in the Revolutionary War. One, William Gamble, even rode in three states, sounding the alarm the British are coming. This is documented. Well, so what? Don't matter. And don't take away from the fact the Indians and Mexicans were here since the dawn of time. When God divided the land. Descendants of Seth. Shem. Oh, by the way, Jesus is in the bloodline of Shem. Notice that the United States on the ley lines is directly parallel or directly, right on the ley line of Middle East. It's right below the, and when you do the ley lines, it's like a crossword puzzle of sort. Each of the ley lines have different power structures on the earth. It's physics. It's different in every continent. Has an effect on DNA, an effect on subatomic particles and how they evolve. And no, there's no such thing as evolution in the sense that they say that we evolved from monkeys. But there are species that come out of certain other species. Vertical evolution. Not horizontal evolution, where a bird turns into a darn lizard or a fish turns into a human or a reptile. No, no, no. But species along the same vertical evolutionary line happens because of interbreeding of that species. And also where they're located on the earth at the very beginning. That's why you don't have polar bears in Africa. You think it's silly, don't you? Well, why wouldn't there be polar bears in Africa? Everything's normal. Everything's just the same all over the earth. How come you don't have polar bears in Africa? Because that ley line affected the species of bear. There's no grizzlies down in Africa. How come? Why not? Why don't you have grizzlies down there? How come you don't have coconuts in North Dakota? How come they won't grow? How come you don't have coconuts in, say, Turkey or France? Why not? Because the ley lines over the period of generations and generations and generations had an effect on the subatomic particles of plants, animals, and humans over the long term, long period. It settled in after God created the heavens and the earth. He let the forces of nature that he created do its work as he guided it along. He knows every heartbeat you're going to have. He knows he is what keeps this world alive. His spirit is so vast, so big. How can an entity like God have a personal relationship with us little bitty humans? He sent Jesus Christ down, that's how. That's the conduit of God to man. If I want to lead a flock of ducks off of a road, I have to shoo them, don't I? Shoo, 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 shoo. But I want to go inside and lead them. All right, ducks, follow me. They're going, whack, whack. He wants Aflac? I don't know. What does he want? What's this human doing? He's nuts. I want to turn myself into a duck and say, okay, talk like them. That's a funny, weird example, right? But you got the idea. It's what God did. He came down here as human in the usual way. Jesus Christ existed before creation, because Jesus Christ is God incarnated in human flesh. When it says that God walked with Adam in the garden, that was Jesus. Jesus is God. But then it was supernatural. See, our God is so big. He's bigger than the universe. He's bigger than heaven. He keeps everything together. His power keeps it all together, keeps things working. But he's perfect love, perfect justice. Everything's perfect. We can't imagine that in our minds. He knows that we're fallible. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, because he established the punishment for sins, and that was death. He took the punishment. Believe upon him, you'll have eternal life. But along with that, perfect justice, he has perfect punishment. Eternal life, well, eternal punishment. Hello? You see, this is a supernatural world which we live in. Now, you have an evil out there that the human mind also cannot conceive. we can even imagine the evil that's there. Why would God do that? To give you a choice. That's why. Even the angels had a free choice. And obviously a third in heaven made the wrong one. And immediately they were kicked out. In a war that we can only read about and imagine. Well, family, that war is coming back again about the fifth and sixth seal. There'll be another war that you won't see, but fallen angels will be cast down. And when the fallen angels are cast down upon this earth in the mid-tribulation period, you'll have what's called the externalization of the hierarchy. They've already planned for that because they know it's coming. How are they going to explain their appearance on this earth once again as in the days of Noah? They call it today the externalization of the hierarchy. That your ascended masters are going to appear on earth. Yeah, because they know they're going to get their butts kicked out of the second heaven too. This is a big, big picture. And this alien and UFO and all this stuff will explain to those that don't know the materialistic way of what's going on. Cutting that piece of the puzzle and just sticking it in the puzzle to make it fit. They create all this fantasy. So, the evil I'm talking about is that evil which wants to keep you busy, keep you tied up, keep you divided, keep us fighting each other, husbands and wives, cities against cities, cultures against cultures, countries against countries, religions against religions. To have that, you have to create it. And then make them fight each other. That's exactly what's going on today. Now, I could sit here, say, for an hour and talk about Ebola. I'll do the research for it, and I'll find there's certain things you can help you with it, and you can wear this and wear that, and colloidal silver and whatever, and on. I can just do all that, but that's a temporary fix. Family, do you understand, did you know that between 2006 and 2007, 8, thereabouts, they murdered 300 microbiologists that had contracts with the government. Did y'all know that? Because they don't want anybody coming up with any kind of antidote or any kind of vaccination that will really work. So they use them to collect the information, do the research, then they kill them. Now, why don't you just keep them? Why don't you just pay them a lot of money and send them down to Barbados? Why in the world do they keep having whistleblowers? Why do people keep changing their mind and start telling the truth? Why? Why do people have a deathbed confession? Why does that absolutely terrorize the Illuminati? Deathbed confessions. Why? Why do they want to kill them? They give them all the rewards that they want. So who would want to be a whistleblower? Because God convicts their soul, that's why. And the Illuminati, who work for Satan, that terrorizes them because that would thwart their plans. Do you understand that they can only operate in certain times and periods of constellations on certain ley lines, that they're restricted in their operations, that an operation that may have to happen, if they don't get it accomplished, they may have to wait another 100 years? Do you understand this? So how do they kill them? Well, William G. Carr has an answer for that. How they die. This is exactly how the 300 microbiologists died. It's right here. It's very simple. In William G. Carr's book, Red Fog Over America, 1955, first edition, which I have. It's about worn out, too. It's hard to get this one. This is one of the originals. He tells you, nihilists, N-I-H-I-L-I-S-T-S, that are trained from birth, traumatized, brainwashed, children that become nihilists, these are assassins. Oh, that's just in the movies. No, it's not. It's real life. Nihilist is defined by William G. Carr, who was in the Canadian Coast Guard. He was a Christian, and he knew his stuff. He said, quote, "The nihilists are the executioners used by all conspirators who aspire to control of a world dictatorship. History reveals these assassins are to be found in all classes of society. They try, if possible, to make the murders that they commit look like accidents, suicides, or natural death." Unquote. Now, for those that don't want to kill, he's got an answer for that, too. It's called the Black Book. I'm certain today that it's more of a computerized Black Book, but here's what he says the Black Book is. This is for the others. Quote, "The Black Book, a book in which the directors of the international conspiracy kept a record of the private lives of influential people, together with a detailed report of their characteristics, faults, failings, and the information is used to, quote, quote, persuade people into doing the bidding of the conspirators, either because of fear of exposure or for the sake of obtaining more luxury and material rewards," unquote. Now, that is the reality of this world. So when you dance with the devil, then you're going to pay the piper. You congressmen, you scientists out there, you better take heed. Because when you get convicted and you're under a blood oath, now let's bring it home to roost, and that conviction comes upon you that you say, what's that called? Guilt. You ever had it before? And it comes upon you, it's not going to let you sleep. You're going to be awake. "Honey, what's wrong?" "I just can't sleep, darling." "What's the matter?" Well, he can't tell her what's the matter, can he? No, he can't. Or she, whichever. Because of the people they've just allowed to lose a contract because they lied. Or someone they turned over to Illuminati and just died in an accident. Or sometimes worse. And because they're under a blood oath of Freemasonry, the Knights of Columbus, Knights of Malta, or witchcraft, which, as a matter of fact, you got Buchanan and Clinton, both are in the Luciferian order. They've taken blood oaths. It's the highest level of government on both sides of the ocean. But some people get a twinge of the conscience. Except they're stuck now because they can't. They say, "Well, gosh, I took a blood oath to God not to tell the truth." That's what they do. But now I'm going against God because I have to tell the truth. Do what God wants because I got to tell the truth. So you're kind of stuck, aren't you? Well, that's how it works. So they got to kill you. When they see you start asking questions or reneging, they know in an instant that you're having the second thoughts. And you will die. Because they can't afford have someone loose that is credible, that knows the secrets, knows the background. In Nixon's plan for New World Order, In Nixon's plan for dictatorship in the United States, that was about the third one in our country, working with General Cushman, didn't work out. They're going to assassinate Spiro Agnew, assassinate him, yeah, with a unit from LAPD. A sniper was going to kill Spiro Agnew at San Diego in September 1973. When it didn't happen, they canceled the operation, obviously. Red Glasshouse tapes. Lewis Tackwood confirms this. And also, New World Order, Ancient Plan of Secret Societies, William T. Still also confirms it. Instead of killing Agnew, Agnew was forced to resign, which is a little bit better option, I think. October the 10th, 1973, after allegations of corruption and bribery suddenly surfaced. That's how they do it. This is reality of how it operates. Now, they've had plans, goodness gracious, going all the way back to Nimrod. I ain't going to go there now. Everybody's concerned about Ebola virus. They're concerned about the economic crash and all that fear and so forth and so on. And that's going to envelop people to this period of time. That's what they're mostly concerned about in the shows and so forth. So they're not going to see it happen. They're not going to understand what I'm saying right now, actually, because of the fear that's being generated. But you got to know the enemy, because to know the past will tell you what's going to happen in the future and what you're dealing with. While we were busy and all these things going on, sports and all this stuff, schools and sports and jobs and families and all this stuff happening, you know, going to all the baseball games and all this thing, man, having fun and all this, keeping us busy, keeping us working, keeping us in debt. Woo, that's a big one. Keeping us in debt. Where you have to work. And when you work, you focus on what? Work. And you got evaluations at work, so you'll be focused on work. And if you're not focused on work, you ever heard Maynard T. Krebs? Then you're going to lose your work, and you have to go out into the line, and here you go. We'll take care of you. We'll give you unemployment. We'll try to find you a job. Better get you a job, boy. Get food stamps. We'll take care of you. We're going to pull them if you don't. You see, they got you. Students, you're under a student loan forever. They got you. Wouldn't you like us to get rid of that loan for you? Really, you would. I bet you would. Here's what we want you to do for us. You see how it works? This is reality. You know, and we're all caught up in it, one way or another. It's material. Well, while we're all caught up in it, they're planning. They have one shot for a new world order to actually happen. And God has restrained it for the longest time. Since Nimrod. Four dictatorships, per se. The fifth one's coming, and that's the Antichrist. Now, that's the big picture. Well, while we're all busy, in 1875 to 1890, they brought in, after the fallen angels had manifested onto this plane of existence, they contacted Helena Blavatsky and brought to mankind, meaning dictated to her, what she would do and write down and set up in the first phase of the New Age movement, the Aquarian Age, water poured down on the out of a pitcher. You got it now? This is Aquarian Age. We're in it now. And the Aquarian Age began in 1875. Before that was a Piscean Age. Well, in 1865 to 1890, they dictated to Helena Blavatsky. They've got pictures of them. The first phase of the New World Order. The first phase is called the preparatory phase. They planned centuries ahead. This is a reality of what's going on today. You know, they say in their planning books, and I got their textbooks. I got two of them. And they say the Christ is head of the hierarchy. The Christ is the head of the hierarchy. Now, I can leave you there and make you all think, what's he talking about? I'm going to slam you with something hard here. It's going to come, and those of you who don't know, it's going to slap you upside the face when it happens. The Christ is the head of the hierarchy. Now, I'm going to tell you who the hierarchy is. They've affected your lives since the day you were born, the day your mother was born, the day your grandmother was born, the day you entered this country, the day before you even entered the country, your family bloodline going all the way back to Charles Maine, going back to the days when Moses was. Family, the hierarchy that we're talking about here, capital T-H-E and capital H-I-E-R-A-R-C-H-Y, hierarchy. Family, those were the sons of God of the Old Testament. Look in your Bible. The sons of God came the daughters of men. Created Nephilim. NIV says that. NIV is trash. They're called giants. And we're talking 30, 40, 50, 60 foot or more. Because of the DNA was different. The sons of God of the Old Testament, Genesis 6:4 and Job 38:7 and Jude. It talks about the sons of God. They were the fallen angels. Family, they were the fallen angels. And Job 38:7 confirms it. That when God laid the cornerstone of the earth, and then it goes to Job 38:7, the stars in heaven sang, that's the angels in heaven sang, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That means the sons of God existed before the earth was created. They saw a beautiful planet. They could get off of their planets they were living on in supernatural form and come to this planet as watchmen for God's new creation. The second wave of fallen angels came after Nimrod. But the creation of the earth, the sons of God came to the earth, and that's when the abominations began with the daughters of man. The very reason for the flood in the first place was a corrupting of DNA and subatomic particles. Now you see why God sent the flood? A debauchery of God's creation began. Satan's revenge began the day this earth was created, because he was cast out of heaven. He lost his position, and God found a replacement, and that be you. He had a place for you to live, that be earth. He created it perfectly that your life would survive with the right oxygen and right everything perfect. Perfect. Van Allen belt protects you from the radiation of the universe, etc. So you could live here and not die. You know the rest of the story. Well, since the day of creation, Satan has waited for his time, and each time has been a different plan. God don't have a different plan. He knew already what he's going to do. But he had to give us that free will. Now, the hierarchy is the following. The sons of God of the Old Testament is the hierarchy. They're also the quote-unquote ascended masters. They're also called aliens. They're no aliens. They're fallen angels, sons of God of the Old Testament. They have to have these different names so they can fool mankind. Cut the piece of the puzzle to fit it into the puzzle, make it fit. You see how it works? Then they're going to come up to you and say, we're fallen angels and we're going to kill y'all. It's not going to work that way. Satan is, should I have to tell you, he's greatly deceiving. And watch this. They're also called the Great White Brotherhood. Those of you that's heard my broadcast before, that should put a startle into you. The Great White Brotherhood, when they have total control, they're going to start the execution of all Freemasons that know too much. Now you see where that fits? They won't need you as human beings anymore. They have their own transhumanized creation. That's why, Freemasons, they're going to kill you. They'll use you for the time being. What I'm telling you is a promise. It's going to happen. Stop doing their bidding. Renounce the blood oath. Take Jesus Christ as your Savior, and that will give you eternal life. You're going to catch Dickens down here, But that's expected, because down here ain't going to be long. Well, the hierarchy is a great white brotherhood, the fallen angels, the sons of God of the Old Testament, the aliens, the ascended masters. They have different names to fit different categories, cutting the puzzle, the piece of the puzzle, in different ways to fool different people. You see how it works? Now, watch this. The mythological gods of Greece. Hey, guess who they were? You got it. The Egyptian gods that we think are mythology? They came to them as gods of their mythology. Then they turned into mythology to hide it. They turned into Greek mythology, Apollo, Zeus, etc., to hide it in history as mythology, so you wouldn't believe it. You read it in college, man, right in front and close and personal. Oh, these are imaginations and fictions written by the people back then. Mythology. No, it wasn't. It was actually, those beings were manipulating of animals, plants, humans, and so forth. Now they call it the New Age. Okay. So through the Christ is the head of the hierarchy. Who's the Christ? That's the one they call Sananda Emmanuel. He's called the Christ. He is called Yeshua. He is called Bodhisattva, Maitreya, the Prince of Peace, Krishna, and the Kalki Avatar. He fits all seven areas. And the Imam Mahdi. He fits all those. He's the Christ. Now watch. He's the head of the hierarchy of the fallen angels. It is the one named Sanat Kumara as the Agent of Days. That is Satan with a New Age name. Is Sanat Kumara. The false prophet is Sananda Emmanuel, Yeshua. Who does he look like? He is the one we think we're led to believe is Jesus Christ in the pictures, photos, holding a lamb, all that, blonde haired, blue eyed. That's Sananda Emmanuel. Nobody knows what the real Jesus really looks like. But because of Leonardo da Vinci, who was in fact an avatar, as documented by the very own Illuminati textbooks as an avatar, Leonardo da Vinci set up the face of Sananda Emmanuel as one we think is Jesus. He's not Jesus. What I'm saying is massive. Some of you already know this. Some of you are going to think I'm crazy, but I can prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. When he appears after this next chaotic event to bring peace, that's when the falling away will occur. Because he will say, the Bible has been misinterpreted. There's no such thing as sin. All religions are one. And he's going to go all kinds against the Bible. That is the falling away. Is it being prepared now? Absolutely. You have I Am University, Melchizedek University, the WESAK, W-E-S-A-K Festival. This has been going on since centuries, family. Centuries of preparing people. Okay, now, that brings us to the preparatory phase, Helena Blavatsky. And did you know, look it up right now, Teilhard de Chardin, T-E-I-L-H-A-R-D, little d, little e, C-H-A-R-D-I-N, was a Jesuit priest in the 20th century, early. He is the father of the New Age movement. Helena Blavatsky is the mother of the New Age movement. Now, I'm heading somewhere. Now, if people left already because they don't understand this, they're going to miss the whole boat. Because I'm going to tell you what they've done, how they're doing this behind our backs. And we'll get down to specifics here in a second. Well, maybe 2 seconds, longer than that. To bring it into bear, that everything's happened up to 1875, then the fallen angels, after the wars have occurred, they absorb that energy to manifest themselves into this realm. They begin contacting because they set them up through channeling thoughts, dreams, inspirations to get them ready for it. Then they say, and I am the one. And here we go. And they dictate to Elena Blavatsky. She writes books. She sets up the first phase called the preparatory phase. 1875, 1890. And guess what? After she's done with it, she dies, 1891. So, in the second phase, 1890, you've got like 30 years later, after the first phase of being instituted, integrated into our lives in that period of time of our ancestors. The second phase introduced after World War I. They needed that world war to manifest themselves into this realm once again. Whoa, man, this is amazing. That's what World War I was partially about. The death and destruction they cause allows them to manifest in this realm. All that death and hate creates energy that they absorb. I don't know how that works exactly. It has to do with physics, chemistry, biology, but it works. They brought the second phase in. That's why it took 30 years. You understand? And the second one was Alice Bailey. What years? 1919, right after World War I. 1919 to 1949. And I bet you can't guess when Alice Bailey died. Where's my Jeopardy theme song? Never mind. 1949, the year she finished this 18 books that was dictated to her, as is documented, by Amoria, the fallen angel. At first, he approached her, scared the dickens out of her. She had to be convinced to work with him. Disciples of Blavatsky, who knew Olcott, by the way, Helena Blavatsky knew Albert Pike. They had met each other, man. Oh, when he was getting ready to kick off. In 1919, 1919, 1919, 1918, 1919, Amoria approached Alice Bailey supernaturally, scared the dickens out of her. She's want to deal with it. She is convinced by disciples of Blavatsky that it's okay. Saint Germain, another fallen angel, and others, this is documented, convinced her to operate with Amoria, and thus began the writing of 18 books that she put out between 1919 and 1949. I'm not going to tell you about the connection I've found out about Amoria and Obama. That's another story. The Egyptian by the name of Obama. Yeah, did y'all know in 1985 that they actually cloned a pharaoh? Did y'all know that? They did. 1985, they cloned a pharaoh from genetic material they got out of one of the mummies. Did your mummy tell you that? No, I just told you that. Look it up. I got the article if you want it. Now, we're back to Alice Bailey. Second phase, called the intermediate phase of the New Age movement, was being developed. So about 1949, oh, wait a minute, 1949? Huh. Wasn't that the same time period that brought Chisholm, of the World Health Organization director, had set up the plans also to take down the United States, to set up our destruction? Well, I got the evidence right here. 1948, 1953, Brock Chisholm was the director of the United Nations World Health Organization after World War II. He said, and I quote, "To achieve world government, It is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas, unquote. That's when it began. I've got this in so many different references, it's not even funny. And that coincides right there with 1949. At the end, when she finished her... Man, that's perfect timing, man. Right after World War I, about 30 years of working with El Moria, 18 books were written by Alice Bailey, and 1949 was put into place, and 1948 to 1953, goodness gracious, that's when Brock Chisholm and the Illuminati started planning to take down the United States. This is absolutely astounding. The timing is impeccable. Now you're wondering, okay, well, what did he do? Well, I can answer that question. That brings me to the next point. I'm going to tell you exactly what she did. I found, someone gave it to me, and then also I found it too, actually. It's kind of synchronicity, whatever you want to call it. Alice Bailey provided an agenda to bring society to absolute ruin. So you New Agers that follow Alice Bailey and Blavatsky? You better be careful how you choose your followership, because she is going to be responsible for your death. Those that take Jesus Christ as Savior, She did the following. This plan that finished in 1949, the United States was the focus. As set up in 1776, we were to be the final bastion as designed. We're seeing the results of it today. Her plan included the abortions, breakdown of marriages, children being brought up in one-parent families, drugs, alcohol abuse, godless schools, homosexuality being accentuated, crime, poverty, and much more are rampant these days. It's all thanks to this agenda I've just finished telling you about. Planned out specifically and perfectly. Now, their plan summarized, as I've talked about before, and you have archives of what I've discussed in detail. If you go back, the five-point plan that I acquired in the 1990s, goes something like this. Demolish the foundations of biblical morality. Number two, eliminate, destroy, okay? The family, now to demolish patriotism, get rid of individual liberty. Number three, discard the Constitution and the Republic which is established. Oh, Dickens, that was done a long time ago, back almost in the Civil War. Our Constitution never existed. It's been a lie all along. Some of you militia better understand this. And you know, you had some folks, what was it, the article I read recently, where patriots were firing at militia members? What's going on there? Anyway, we just fall right in line. Just fall in line with it. It's amazing. When y'all going to learn? Number three was discard the Constitution. Actually, it was rendered null and void in 1938 under Tompkins versus Erie Railroad by federal mandate, federal ruling. Rendered the Constitution null and void. 1938 even. Anyway. Number four, destroy the American free enterprise system. And I found this separately in that what I talked about yesterday in the Canadian investigation of their customs service. They found a plot to destroy both Canada and the United States. And here I found it in another book, another research. Destroy the American free enterprise system. Number five was direct our attention toward the United Nations, which is the world government, which will drag us, if necessary, drug us into a global government. Now, I've got details for all that. Well, that being said, let's go back to Alice Bailey. When she finished the intermediate phase by the fallen angels, not Jews, not Muslims, not even Freemasons. This is fallen angels, demonic entities, demonic evil, using those in the secret societies as their little puppets and put them under a blood oath to make sure they're shut up. And if they don't, they kill them. How can I get more unpolitically correct? The 10-point plan is definitely a summary. Goes something like this. Take God and prayer out of the education system. Change curriculum to ensure that children are freed from the bondage of Christian culture. Why? Because children go to school to be equipped to face life, and they're willing to trust and they're willing to value what's given to them. If you take God out of the education, they will then form unconsciously a resolve that God is not necessary to face life. They will focus on those things. The school counts them worthy to be passed on, and they'll look at God as an additional, if one can afford the additional. They introduced transcendental meditation, TM, in schools, which takes children to altered state of consciousness to meet with demons or spirit guides in the new age. Are you parents asking your kids what you learned today? Why do you think they put up those towers? Those towers. Yeah, those towers near the schools, right? You know those towers near the schools? You conspiracy theorists out there, I got a vindication for you. If I can find it here. They're now reporting these towers are mysterious. There it is. Oh, man. All those towers that we've been telling y'all about are ELF towers, population control. And now they're coming out and telling you, man. Quote, mysterious fake cell phone towers are intercepting calls all over the United States. So they're calling them interceptors of communications. That's another lie. That's part of it. Family, those ELF towers, electromagnetic frequencies, they manipulate DNA. It's where your voices come from. You hear the voices and stuff. It comes from the cell phone tower. They're not cell phone towers. It's those mysterious big base towers that you find are short. And they got those pancake-looking things on the side, the top of them. Some of them in trees or hidden behind trees. That's what they are. Now they're telling you they're there. The towers appear to be connecting to nearby phones, bypassing their encryption, and either tapping close or reading texts, whatever. No, it's manipulate behavior called Gwen coils. These towers extended in a cloud covering the United States. One tower, big one, covers 300 miles of ELF transmission, microwave technology. Now they're telling you they're out there, but they're giving you a different reason for it. This article came out just a couple days ago. So, to enhance the TM, transcendental meditation, they say your child has ADHD. It's a lie. Why? Because now, well, your child is diagnosed with ADHD. He's young and energetic. He's got to be crazy. So we're going to give you some drugs to calm him down. Medicate him. That adds another portal for the demonic realm to come inside your kid and to control your kid through the microchips. I already proved that already. DARPA has a pill that has a microchip inside. I've already got the testimony on that. Family, y'all better wake up out there. It's not. Come on now. Doggone it. Number two. Reduce parental authority over the children. She said, Betty said, break the communication between parent and child. Why? So parents do not pass on their Christian traditions to their children. I'm going to read that again. Listen to this very carefully. And then we'll give you some evidence that's going to slam dunk this right up through wazoo. It says, reduce parental authority over children. She said to break the communication between the parent and child. Why? So the parents do not pass on their Christian traditions to their children. Liberate children from the bondage of their parents' traditions. How? By promoting excessive child rights. International Rights of the Child. 1997, 1998, South Africa introduced the child's rights legislation. UNICEF. Now you know why Hoover was involved with UNICEF, don't you now? He's the one who started. Coming home to roost. And today a child is able to say to a parent, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to do what you're telling me to do. Nan, nan, the boo-boo. Teachers cannot talk to children. Children step up and say, I have my rights. You cannot talk to me like that. Now today you got children, females, teachers, are having sexual acts in the classrooms. Just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. So you lose respect in the church, in the schools. You need to protect the children, right? Then we need to sign the International Rights of the Child, right? And no, but that's why they're producing all these things. There's a dialectic. Abolish corporal punishment. It's been made the law. On the other hand, the Bible says, do not withhold correction from a child. For if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. That's in Proverbs 23, 13 and 14. It don't mean you beat him to death with a baseball bat, for goodness sakes. Jesus said in the last days, wickedness will increase. There will be rebellion and children will not obey their parents. It's not a trend. It is organized. Teachers are agents of implementation. From workshops and teachers tell children, your parent has no right to force you to pray or read the Bible. You are yourself. You have a right of your own. You need to discover yourself. Self-expression. Self-realization. Maslow. Hello. Self-fulfillment. Joel Osteen. Here we go. Are all buzzwords. Prosperity. You need to be rich. In the West, when the child is 7 years old, the teacher begins to say to the child, you have a right to choose whether you want to follow the faith of your parents or not. Parents are not allowed to enforce their faith upon you. Question is, what type of decision can a 7-year-old kid make? Now watch this. She said to break the communication between parent and child. Why? So that parents do not pass on their Christian tradition to their children. Now watch this. You want a real world example? I'm going to hammer you with one. In 1973, this is like 20 years after, continuity I'd say, Dr. Chester M. Pierce, a medical doctor of Harvard, who should have been disbarred, should have been taken out of the medical field and taken out of the Harvard and fired. I'll tell you why. Of course, Harvard is a Illuminati college. It's under the Council of Foreign Relations, as a matter of fact. Rockefeller wouldn't allow it, but if it wanted to, because he gave him $20 million to continue with Harvard as an education system. They work for Tavistock, too. Okay, all that being said, Dr. Pierce of Harvard University, he spoke to 2,000 teachers in Denver, Colorado, in a teacher's conference in 1973. So what I say, so that parents do not pass their Christian values to their children? Okay. Here's what Dr. Pierce said to 2,000 teachers at one time. I quote Dr. Chester Pierce. Every child in America entering school to age of 5 is mentally ill. Because he comes to school with certain allegiances toward our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in the supernatural being, toward the sovereignty of the nation as a separate entity. It's up to you teachers to make all these sick children well by creating the international children of the future. Unquote. Now, is there any question as to why your children won't listen to you now? Why you have Generation X, Y, Z, whatever the dickens they're talking about? I'm giving you exactly what they have done, right down to the nitty-gritty. How does a 5-year-old kid start school, 5 years old now? How can this Chester Pierce get off by saying it, that every child in America enters school at the age of 5, that's first grade, or whatever, is mentally ill? How'd that happen? Because he comes to school with certain allegiances toward our founding fathers. Well, how can he have allegiance with the founding fathers when he hadn't went to school yet? Toward our elected officials. How's that work? At 5 years old. Well, that's the smart kids we had back then, huh? Toward his parents, toward a belief in a supernatural being. Man, he hadn't went to church yet. Maybe play school. Toward the sovereignty of the nation as a separate entity. How's he know that? He's only 5 years old. So how in the world does Dr. Chester M. Pierce get off by telling them that? How come the teachers didn't just walk out? Or all 2,000 of them, or 1,000. I'm not greedy. Sign a petition to have him taken out of the college. He's unfit. How come they didn't do that? Because at 5 years old, the parents pass on the Christian traditions to their children. Who are we talking about here? In 1973. We're talking about the baby boomers. Who the baby boomers are? Their parents. They're the children of the parents of World War I, World War II, who had the Christian values, had the sovereignty, had everything, fight for freedom, blah, 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 all that stuff, because that was instilled, because they needed to in the school system to fight the wars. Then when it was over, 1945, now let's take it away from them. Here's how we're going to do it. Do you all see this plan, for goodness sakes? How Satan has operated? The real big picture is just phenomenal. But they're all heading to hell. They lose, because greater is he is in you than the rest of the world. That's how I deal with it. Because I know they lose. I'm like, all I try to do is get the word out to people to not worry, not have fear, man. Not let these people put fear in you. You're going to die of Ebola. You're going to die because a meteorite's going to hit you on the head through your house. You're going to die because GMO is going to just kill you. You're going to die when you go across the street and get run over by a car. You're going to die because you got a little red dot on your mailbox. Oh, for goodness sakes. They're going to come and drag you out of the house kicking and screaming. Well, that may happen. But when you die, you got Jesus Christ on your side, you're going to heaven. So what in the world can they offer to cause me fear? Not a darn thing. Because Jesus Christ is coming back. He doesn't lie. They do. Let's go back to it. So reducing parental authority over the children. How close and personal is promoting excessive children rights? Hey, how about that, huh? How about those children rights? Well, I got something for that too. Let me show how close they got to that. For example, In 19, I don't tell you anything I can't prove. Yep, there it is. One of the largest threat to American family loomed within the walls of the United Nations, because on November the 20th, 1989, United Nations General Assembly approved the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. Does that, darn, it matches too. 1997, 1998. So 1990, 7 years after this promoted, South Africa introduced their child's rights legislation, UNICEF Charter. Was 7 years after this was assigned. Oh, there it is. So the United Nations, on November the 20th, exactly, 1989, United Nations General Assembly approved the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. Now, the 20th nation ratified that treaty on September the 2nd, 1990. That means that the treaty is in force. Now, the United States did not sign the convention and wasn't ready to it, wasn't ready to do that. But there's pressure from Hillary Clinton and others in her cabal to ratify the international nightmare they're going to bring upon you. So in the 1990s, our Congress is not ready to sign that. Over. So they got to show you from 1990 on how children's rights are being abused, just like we're talking about here. They got to prove it to you. They got to show you. If they can't, they're going to make it happen. So they can vaccinate your children to kill them in the schools. I can't be more clear than that. And you will not be able to go up to the school and pull them out when they give you a text. Mom, they're starting to force these vaccinations on us. What do I do? You're going to leave work. You're going to hightail it through the traffic as fast as you can go. Maybe get a speeding ticket. I don't know. To get to that darn school along with some other parents. And you're going to find security there that will not let you in the school, or they'll throw you in a paddy wagon. Now, I'll give you graphically what they're going to do. And these cops that's going to do it, it's going to happen to their kids. And their kids are going to die because of it, because they're stupid enough to take a blood oath to the Freemasons and follow up with this New World Order and the Multi-Jurisdictional Task Force, and they're going to kill them too. Do y'all understand what I'm saying here? That y'all being used from the police officers, the law enforcement, Christian Identity, man, y'all being fools, absolute fools, because they're going to use you up and then kill you. Well, this treaty that I'm telling you about gives further ownership of all children to the state and the United Nations, undermines the authority of the parents to raise their children, and replaces it with a panel of UN experts, and gives the children the right to disobey their parents under penalty of law. Now, I've given you her plans. I told you where it came from. I gave you the dates. Now I'm giving you exactly what they're doing. I'm giving you the dates, the times, the names, the people, every doggone thing. Darn, it's frustrating. Now, should they ratify this treaty, for example, by the Senate, your rights as a parent will be transferred to the federal government, which will establish a new bureaucracies to investigate and prosecute you if you violate your children's rights as defined by that convention. So the only remaining rights will be to support the new bureaucracies, new ones, a reformation of government. You know Clinton's cousin, Gore, and Clinton reorganizing government? There you go. It's not just Obama. Y'all get off on it, man. Get away. Encompass all of them under this Luciferian agenda. Not just Obama. He's only a little puppet like the rest of them. If you look up this convention, I found copies of it. I'm going to tell you the articles. I'm not going to go in detail. I don't have the time right now. I'm going to tell you the articles. If you look it up, UN Convention of the Right, UN Convention of the Child is the following articles. Article 3, 4, 7, 13, 14, 15, 16, 18, 28, and 29. Those specific articles are there to take your children away from you. Now, you Freemasons, that should be of some concern for you, that they would do this to you and still use you for this operation. There was a globalist publication called This World. It is praised at the UN Convention in the winter of 1984. Imagine that. And the title of the article was What's Wrong with Children's Rights? Excerpt from that publication is as, quote, the traditional family structure, the traditional family structure imposes upon children attitudes of restraint, deference, obedience, and shame. It breaks their will, represses their sexuality, turning them into artificial, authoritarian, sex-negating, compulsive, competitive, and manipulative human beings, unquote. Jan Blitz, no less. It's on pages 5 to 19. It's like sitting on a hilltop, and you're on a bend in the road. Damn, golly, Pete, man. It's like sitting on a hilltop having a picnic, and you're looking down on this railroad track, and you look over here on your right in this bend in the road, the track, you see a train just barreling down. You say, wait a minute. You look on the left, ha, you see another train bearing down. Uh-oh. And those trains can't see themselves. And you see the both of them get ready to crash. What do you do? That's what you see when you see these things. It's like you see it happening, but doggone it, people won't do nothing about it. Okay, anyway. So, man, that's just number two. Number three was destroy, Alice Bailey. Destroy the Judea Christian family structure. You heard that, and you say, well, how did I build this up? Or the traditional Christian family structure. Why? It's oppressive that the family is the core of the nation. If you break the family, you break the nation. Liberate the people from the confines of this structure. How? Well, here's what she came up with. Promote sexual promiscuity. Free the young people of the concept of premarital sex. Let them have free sex. Lift it so high that the joy of enjoying it, sex, is the highest joy in life. Fantasize it. And then everybody will feel proud to be seen to be sexually active, even those outside the marriage. Now, this is contrary to the Word of God, which says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Ephesians 5, verse 3 to 5. What the Bible says. Even if I look upon a woman and have lust in my heart, I've already committed adultery already. God's tough, man. He's tough. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He gives you that conviction. Lord, I'm sorry for that thought. Help me with this. It's not working. Family, Lord, I need help. Take this away from me. Give me strength. This is practice down here, family, for heaven. This is practice for the coming world after Armageddon. Something else they've done that she suggested. Use the advertising agency. You thought that came from Hollywood, didn't you? Media, TV, magazines, film, industry. Promote sexual enjoyment as the highest pleasure in humanity. So I'm giving you her plans. I'm telling you what people carrying them out have said. You understand what I've done? And these are not connected. These things I'm giving you doesn't come from the same documents, the same research. These are completely unrelated. They say the same thing. Man. Sometimes that excites me to find how it all comes together. But worst off, it just ticks me off more. But I don't know. I'm just hoping that sometime I'll say it on air and somebody with power will do something about it to slow it down or at least convince people that this is real. And someone will say, gosh, I need to take Jesus Christ as my Savior and not have fear, not worry about it, but take action of what we can, but not be fearful. It's up to God. You know that every education is thus the most powerful ally of humanism. That's what we're talking about here. Every public school is a school of humanism. Unquote. A Humanist by Charles Francis Potter, 1930. 57, 59 years later, Georgia Ann Geyer said, and I quote, the percentage of Marxist faculty numbers can range, can range from an estimated 90% in some Midwestern universities, unquote. And the same time, 59 years after Charles Francis Potter said it, showing you continuity, Roger Kimball said, I quote, with a few notable exceptions, our most prestigious liberal arts colleges and universities have installed the entire radical Marxist and humanist menu at the center of the humanities curriculum at both undergraduate and graduate levels, unquote. You know what that means? That means your Harvard professor, let me just get the list of them. That means your Harvard professor of history, politics, education, religion at your Harvard College, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Columbia, Stanford, MIT, Cornell, University of Texas, a double horn satanic thing going on, University of California, University of St. Louis, Rockefeller University, John Hopkins University, University of Chicago, University of Miami, City College of New York, George Washington University, and 100 others like that. The scholars of biblical research aren't worth 2 cents. Their books are worthless. You know why? Because I just told you why. Because 90% to 100% of them are Marxist and socialist. And if that's not biased, I don't know what is. Isn't. So that means their research cannot be trusted. Literally. A whole wasted education institution. You spent $100,000 for your child to go to Harvard. They've been taught by humanists to turn against you. This is so massive. I don't know. Anyway. So have they succeeded? Have they? If you want to see whether they succeeded or not, go to the advertising industry. Do I have to tell you that? It does everything to catch your attention, and almost no advertisement comes out without sexual connotation. Does it ever? You know, Walmart has voice to skull advertising technology that you can hear the voice inside your head in one aisle, but not when you go to the next aisle. Yeah, they test it in Walmart. It's called microwave. It's in your brain. That's how they do it. Not every Walmart store has it, but the one here in Mount Airy does. You go in the aisle, you hear the advertising in your ear, oh, and you're looking for it. Must be the TV. You step in the next aisle, you don't hear it anymore. It's like it goes off. Huh? You go back to the aisle that you were, you hear it. Okay, you step like 12 feet away from that microwave, you don't hear it anymore. It's weird. We know what it is. Even the advertised ice cream, they got to show you a thigh of a woman in a bikini. Now, I'm not becoming an old fogey or some kind of legalist or whatever. I'm just telling you what, it's working. Am I part of this? Yeah, I have been. I've been part of this. I've been manipulated also. Am I convicted when I tell you all this? Absolutely. But I will expose it anyway. They'll show you more thighs than ice cream. Why? Because that's what must be in the minds of the people. Advertising industry pops out. You got jingles so they remember it. You got the picture so they remember it. Well, in 1919, oh, that's an interesting year now. See, it all comes to play. Around 1919, the Allies found in May of 1919 at Dusseldorf, Germany, Allied forces obtained a copy of the Communist Rules for Revolution. 84 years later, and they said here in the first one, quote, number one, corrupt the young, get them away from religion, get them interested in sex, and make them superficial and destroy their ruggedness. That means make the men into wimps or whatever. Number two was get control of all means of publicity. Get people's minds off the government by focusing their attention on athletics, sexy books, plays, and other trivialities. Number three was divide people into hostile groups by constantly harping on controversial matters of no importance. That's why the Jesuits formed the NAACP, ACLU, KKK, Christian Identity, Black Muslims, ACLU, I said, ADL, all these groups, civil rights, it was for a good cause, but they created the cause, and now you got it? This is so well planned and so well thought out. It's just mind. How do you stop it? Don't play their game. Educate your kids. Talk to them. Lead them to Jesus. You can't do it unless you're there already. After all, you have life insurance policy in case you die and your kids will be taken care of and your wife or husband or whatever. But that's only a short time. How about eternity? And that's free. Don't cost a penny. I just said something massive. I hope you caught it. You know, they show like a president, depends which president they vilify. In this case, it's Obama. He's playing his role really well. Hollywood would be proud, just like Bush did, just like Clinton did. They all play their role. But they show the one that they're vilifying by design. The trips they took to England, took $100,000 or $1 million of the taxpayers' money, and they show you all this stuff. And it goes in the news, right? Watch this. In the same Communist Rules for Revolution, number six, quote, by encouraging government extravagance, destroy its credit, produce fear of inflation, rising prices, and general discontent. They encourage government extravagance. They want them to do that so they can show it on the news. And number four, destroy the people's faith in their natural leaders by holding the latter up to contempt, ridicule, and speak against condemnatory utterances. Family, it's all by design. Back to Alice Bailey. And boy, she's a rascal, isn't she? She was a rascal. 18 books she wrote. All she did was take dictation from who? A Jew? No. A Muslim? No. From a Jesuit? No. From a fallen angel family that was manifested in this realm. That's the real enemy. You're not going to hear this too many places. And people's listening to it now probably think I'm crazy, but I got the evidence. Of which you can accumulate yourself by yourself. You just got to open your mind to the reality. Let the Holy Spirit come in. And the only way through that is through Jesus Christ. With spiritual eyes. He'll show you. Number four. Valis Bailey's plan. If sex is free, then make abortion legal and make it easy. She said to build clinics for abortion. Health clinics and schools. If people are going to enjoy the joy of sexual relationships, they need to be free of unnecessary fears. In other words, they should not be hampered with unwanted pregnancies. Abortion, as told by Christians, is oppressive and denies our rights. We have a right to choose whether we want to have a child or not. If a woman does not want the pregnancy, she should have the freedom to get rid of that pregnancy as painlessly, as easy as possible. Today, it's not only accessible, it's forced. Today, abortion is a strategy to curb population control together with the use of condoms and pills. But that's not all. That's not all it is. See, even when you do the research, even the research don't go deep enough. The actual purpose of abortion that they don't tell you in the whispers is this. There's a long history of abortions that's being performed by practicing witches, Wicca, Satanists, and all the like. It's come out in public again and again all along, many times as blatant statements by the witches themselves. Patricia Beard Wendell, the founder and owner of an abortion business called Aware Woman, at one time, she was an avowed witch who raised a stink about many years ago, said, quote, "You practice your religion and let me practice mine. My religion is a holy ritual child sacrifice," unquote. You see, she got away with saying that because her abortion clinic is legal, was or whatever, at that time. In fact, she meant to make the news to promote one of her books called Targets of Hatred, Anti-Abortion Terrorism. That labels the pro-life position as fundamentalist fanatics endangering the lives of women. With a very known phrase sometimes said, that's really calling up a demon is yada, yada, yada. You think that's just a... Look, you know, she's one of five, actually more than five, to show the religion and they're proud of it. They share this insanity that claiming feminine power, feminist movement, feminine power, you got it, involves initiation of taking the life she creates. That's how a woman graduates to being a goddess in witchcraft, the next level. You should be shocked about this time. And you know the Masonic maxim is? True. Everything really is out there in plain sight. People don't believe their eyes and ears if they don't believe evil's real. And there's a non-human aspect to it as well. Everything's in broad daylight. The epidemic of Satanism beginning in the 1980s. Because that was the third phase of the New Age movement. I haven't even told you about yet. Brought on by Michael Aquino in 1975. That began the final phase of the New Age movement. Three phases. 1875 to 1890, Helena Blavatsky. Second phase, 1919 to 1949, Alice Bailey. Third phase, and the final one, 1975 up till to date, General Michael Aquino that works in your Pentagon, founder of the Temple of Set, Satan. Orchestrator, planner, user of MKUltra in the Pentagon. Your Pentagon in Washington, D.C. That's what feminism's all about. And they don't know that. They don't realize it. See, they tired of being subjugated. Well, they subjugated them on purpose. So they get tired of it, and then they come up with the movement. There's your dialectic. You all see how this works? Wow. You know, people entering marriage have signed contracts of how they will share their things after divorce, and people enter with one foot and behind another, another behind, and 50 years divorce was unthinkable. 50 years ago, it's one thing for marriage to fail, but it's another thing for people to enter marriage with the intent to enjoy as long as it's enjoyable and walk out of it. I didn't feel the right role when I was a husband at the time. I was a poor husband. More than once. I regret that today, but I was just stupid, young, and full of myself. Full of something else, too, I can't say on the air. And I'm sorry for that. But I was also a product of this era. And I see how it really affects people's lives. I don't let Satan take me back there. Because I know that God forgave me when I became born again. I look forward ahead. But I've been there, and I've caused it, and I've seen it. I know the results of it. And I cannot talk about it without confessing myself to what I did. So I can speak from authority. It's not good. Alice Bailey, number 6. Make homosexuality an alternative lifestyle. Boy, they've hit the ground running on that, didn't they? The past 6 months, a year. 19 states now. Homosexual marriage. And it includes everything. Homosexuality, adultery, lying, cheating, all that is the same thing. Not just singling out homosexuals, adulterers too. Alice Bailey preached 50, 60 years ago that sexual enjoyment is the highest pleasure in humanity. So one must be denied and no one must be restricted how to enjoy themselves. People should be allowed in whatever way they choose and want to, which is whether it's homosexuality or incest or bestiality, as long as the two agree. How do you get a dog to agree with that? Anyway. Well, along those lines, I didn't have this ready. Oh, yeah, I do. Oh, Joycelyn Elders, 1990s, U.S. Surgeon General. Are you ready for this? She said, and I quote, "We need to speak out to tell people that sex is good, sex is wonderful. It is a normal part and healthy part of our being, whether it's homosexual or heterosexual." And right there it is, man. 1990s. Supporting it all the way. Roberta Auchenberg, Assistant Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, said, and I quote, "Do we want children learning the values of an organization that provides character building exclusively for straight and God-fearing children?" Unquote. Mm-mm-mm. They've been working. Busy, while we all busy doing other things. And then what they did? They created HIV. You understand the word created? HIV in a laboratory in Fort Detrick, Maryland in the 1970s. So now you promote homosexuality, you create the disease, and they did infuse it into the culture in Africa by design in a very diabolical way. That's another story. I could do a program on that to start the killing process. Do you all understand how evil that is? What has really happened is beyond the imagination of how Satan is working his human servers. And these preachers out here are not teaching the right thing. They're not teaching the right Bibles. They're not teaching the right doctrine. And they're kowtowing the 501c3 churches, which controls what they preach, what they teach. They're Freemasons on the pulpit. Freemasons control the preacher if they're not. Satan has infiltrated all churches. You might have one scattered in Podunk, Tennessee, or Podunk, North Carolina. He might be teaching the right thing, but his time's getting short. Family, Satan is prince of this world, but he's not king. To sift the wheat and the tares, God gives him some latitude. Whose side are you going to be on? You know, there's a law passed, and I'm going to talk about this tomorrow. I need to talk about this, I do believe. I don't need to stop. I'll do a refresher tomorrow, and I'll continue on with this, probably. You got to know the enemy. What to pray against, what to avoid, what to tell your children to not to correct the problems and the lies that the schools are teaching now. Have been for quite a long time. Blavatsky, Anna Bissett, Alice Bailey, well-known Masonic leaders of the day. Eastern Stars. Albert Pike referred to Freemasonry as a custodian or a special guardian of the occult secrets and revealed the hidden agenda. Now, family, Blavatsky, Bissett, Alice Bailey, and Albert Pike weren't all Jews, and they weren't Muslim, and they weren't Democrats, they weren't Republicans, they were Luciferians, like all the rest of them are. We're coming to the end of the program, family, and remind y'all, y'all, that that we're played up in highportradio.net in his network randomly, our broadcast are, and Bible studies, and John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. And he plays us on a random basis on his network in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. I have a website, watchmanforjesus.com. I got a Facebook, Watchman for Jesus. Y'all join us now here. Tomorrow I'm going to continue on, and I didn't get the news today, did I? No, I didn't. I don't have the time. But I gave you some real-world examples of what's going on. And family is moving right along. Oh, they're waiting for the right crisis to make this thing happen. And that will be their destruction. Look at it from that point of view, because it's true. Jesus Christ is coming back soon. The idea is to not have fear, even though they're going to throw it at you. You know, they had a news guest on recently, said feminists aren't being what God designed them to be. Surprise, surprise. That was a couple days ago. A chemistry professor corroborated whistleblowers' claims, links mercury in the vaccines to autism, neurodevelopment issues. Family, we've been telling you all this for the longest time. And see, now, here's what the point is. They're bringing it all out in the public. They want you to know it. To acknowledge the weaknesses of all governments so you'll get tired of it and you'll accept the new world order, which is going to be worse. Jesus Christ is the answer. This world's going down, and it's going down fast. This is one ship you don't want to be on. And what he's offering you is not a dinghy. It's a big, big, big plan. It's for your eternity. And that's through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. The King James Bible tells you how to get there. And that's the only Bible with evidence on the face of this planet that's telling you the truth. It's a King James Bible, Cambridge edition. All the others are frauds, fakes, and counterfeits. Fact. So, that being said, family, y'all have a good night. And know that Jesus won on the cross of Calvary. And remember that. Greater is he in you than in the rest of the world. Don't be like Peter and have fear and sink. But be strong and trust in the Lord. Faith, fear, and trembling. And that means respect and love. Great love and respect. It'd be all right. Y'all have a good night. God bless. This is your watchman, signing off.
Shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.